the Gemara in Brochus Lamed Beis, Toner Rabbonon, are Boat Tzrichim Chizik. There are four that need to strengthen themselves. The Elohim, in other words, four things, four activities for which a person needs to strengthen himself. The Elohim, Torah, Umasim Torah and Mitzvahs. Tvilo, V'derech Eretz. We'll assume what all of these are. Torah, Umasim Tovim, Minayin, Shenemar, it says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, Rak Chazak Ve'amatz Ma'id, Lishmar, La'asayis, K'chol HaTorah. It's Chazak B'Torah, Ve'amatz B'masim Tovim. Tefillah v'nayin shenem or kavei al Hashem. One turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom. What should one do next? Is chazak v'yameitz the mepa strength in ourselves with kavei al Hashem and return to the Rabbeinu Shalom again. And finally, there are cheretz v'nayin shenem or chazak v'nis chazek ba'adameinu. So Rashi says, first the definitions. Derech Eretz, he says, "Im uman ha'ulim nosa." If a person is a craftsman for in his craft, im seicharuf, he's a businessman l'scharosa in his trade, in his coppers. Im ish milchamahu, if he's a man of battle, he's a general. And then milchamto, whatever his sphere is in this world, the person has to be mechazik himself. The Rashi says. Kavei, El Hashem, Chazak, V'yamit, Kavei, V'his Chazek, and strengthen yourself, V'lo Tim Shoch Yodcho, and don't draw back, El Chazor V'Kavei, again turn back to the Rabbeinu Shalom again. In Tzrichon Chizek, she is Chazek, Odom, V'hen Tomid, B'chol Koch. There are two things in this Rashi. He says she is Chazek, Odom, V'hen Tomid. This is not a sporadic thing, this is constant, daily, regularly. I have to strengthen myself. And in what fashion? B'chol kocho. I must muster all the energy that I have for it. So if I want to succeed in four things, if I want to succeed in Torah, in mitzvahs, in tefillah, and in derech eretz, in my career, I have to be ready to strengthen myself on a daily basis. Otherwise, I can't succeed. So this tells us how much effort we really have to expend if we intend to succeed. And tefillah is one of the four things that Chazal defined as tzrichim chizuk. That we can't sit back and take it for granted. We have to really put out constantly if we're going to succeed. So that's the reason the Gemara relates this to us, in fact, in Perek of Ein Oimdim, in the midst of a discussion about tefillah. And this is what we need, that's why we want to place emphasis on tefillah, because we need everything that we can, all our energy plus, but to succeed even to some degree in tefillah. Tefillah, why are we mispalo? We make a simple calculation. I don't want to go into it in depth. I talked about it a little bit more a previous time. But all the reasons that we turn to people to assist us don't apply to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Sometimes, in fairness, in justice, I deserve something. So I go to a person, I tell him, listen, my rights, I should get this and this and this. Thinks about it, decides I'm right, he gives it to me. Now, we don't have to go to the Rabbeinu Shalom for that. Why? Because the Rabbeinu Shalom knows before I come to him what I deserve. The Rabbeinu Shalom didn't forget about me. The Rabbeinu Shalom is not lazy. The Rabbeinu Shalom is not trying to wheedle out of it. So, for all of those reasons that in the human realm I have to come and plead my case, even when I'm right, I don't have to do before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Second possibility, in this world, a person who is capable sometimes gets his way even when he doesn't deserve it. Why? For varied reasons. Sometimes he makes enough of a nudge of himself that the guy just wants, listen, just give him what he wants. I don't want to see him again. Get rid of him, you know? Sometimes I bamboozle the guy. We convince him that we deserve something that we don't deserve. And I put one over on him. By the time I'm finished, I'm so smooth that he really wonders why he never did this before. These can't work by the Rabbi Shalom either. We can't get on his nerves. We can't cajole him. We can't flatter him. Nor can we convince him to give us something that we don't deserve. So what's the point of tefillah? What are we out to do by davening? David HaMelech says, when he kirvas Elohim lita, being close to the Rabbi Shalom, I find satisfying good. Tefillah is karvas to the Rabbi Shalom, drawing closer to the Rabbi Shalom. Heightening our awareness that everything in this world stems from the Rabbi Shalom. In Parshas Ekev we read that what do we have to be most concerned about this world? And we shouldn't come to the conclusion that Koichi ve'oitzim yodi osali asachayel azeh. Targum Taitche translates chayel as nichse, the wealth. Then why did I succeed? I succeeded because I'm swift and I'm smart and I know what investments to make and therefore I became rich. So we need to realize the siyata d'shmaya in everything that we do. We sometimes look at people. Two people, they're equally talented, they both have the same circumstances, the same opportunity. One guy, his business is turning money hand over fist. He just can't keep up with it. He can't hire enough workers to keep up with it. And the other guy is struggling to pay the rent. It's the pshat. Can't figure it out. There's one of the wealthiest from philanthropists. He's worth more than $1 billion. So another businessman who knew him from a very wealthy businessman who knew him and assisted him in his early career said about him that his initial moves in business were suicidal. That the only business description you can give of them is that they were suicidal. The Rabbi Shalom smiled at him and he succeeded. But from the business standpoint, okay, we're dealing with a person who's offering the assessment, who's a very wealthy businessman in his own right. He understands business and he understands big money. And he says the moves are suicidal. The Rabbi Shalom blessed him with success. Another person, he has a hot product, a hot idea, he has a great team. The market's ready for the product. He opens up, he rents facilities, he engages staff, and boom, what happens? It's the fall of 2008. That's it. Everything, business is drying up. Nobody's buying anything new. He can't get anyone to invest to keep the business going until things come around. And the roof is falling in on his head. He started 3 years before. He made a fortune. Timing. And who determined the timing? We see it all the time. I noted when I was a teenager, the first time I went to learn an Eretz Yisrael. So the yeshiva building was located at the edge of town. It was a year after the Six-Day War. The street where the building was a half a block after where the army's pillbox had been before the Six-Day War. So you can imagine who lived on this street. Not the wealthy people of Yerushalayim. The poorest Sfardim lived on this block. Some Nebuch lived after the pillbox. That's where the houses were. Not even before. So you can imagine there was a guy, a Sfardi, who had a makomet, a grocery store in this neighborhood. How much money could he earn in a poor neighborhood at the edge of town? What happened is by a whole strange set of circumstances, 60 Americans wound up down the block from him learning. 60 Americans with money to spend. A yeshiva that had to take care of 60 fellas, and this was the only store around. Now, was there any ishtadlis that he could have done in the world to have brought this about? absolutely impossible. In Shemayim, they said, this year he's making money. All of a sudden, I mean, it just struggled probably to eke out an existence his whole life. All of a sudden, a huge amount of customers come in with money to spend. It's been Hashemayim. The problem is that we live in a very concrete world. You know, we do concrete things. We plant in the spring, we harvest in the fall. There's a certain seder how a person invests and does business if you want to succeed. And we have to stick to those principles. But because of that, we lose sight of the fact that it's not those principles that determine our success. You know, those are the things we have to do. So it's all the Mauritian, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, that we have no choice. But that's not the determinant. So three times a day we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom and we ask of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's the hardest thing for a human being to do. The last thing any person wants to have to do is to go to another human being and ask him for something. Every person wants to be blessed, to be independent, to be able to take care of himself. To come and ask of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's a person humbles himself in that fashion. The recognition that all the basic things that we need in this world, where do they come from? We have no control over them. They come only solely from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Health, we have any control over health? How does a person know? One person's frail, and he lives 100 years. Another person's a giver, you know. And it doesn't make it to 50. You can't understand it. And we have no control over it at all. We're dealing with, and they're talking in a realm that's totally beyond our control. It's B'idei Shamayim. It's B'idei Lo Rabbeinu Shalom. For you know Hashem and they're offering your health is in your hands. It's the only place that it comes from. Baruch Aleinu Panos, it comes from you. I took a job at a company and I left a different company. So did I go to the company that's going to make or the company that's going to tank? We know they took a nice solid company. All of a sudden, Pierre Stearns, goodbye, disappeared. One day I was here, next day gone, you know, gone with the wind. You don't understand such things. You don't know. I knew a fellow once, he was Nifter, I think, in about the last year. In his later years, he lived in Hillcrest. And I knew him for many years. And he was an electrical union in three. What they called the father-son union in the construction trades. And that's where he worked his whole life, in the construction trades as an electrician. So more than 40 years back, one day, a beam fell on a construction site, crashed down through a building, and killed the guy. So I meet this guy, Shabbos, and he says, you know, he says, the guy that was killed was an Italian. He says, he was my partner, we were working together. We heard a rumble in the building above us. So we said, gotta get out of there. So we ran in different directions. I ran this way, I ran one way, he ran the other way. He ran, unfortunately, right where the beam was falling. If it stayed put, nothing would have happened to him. If he ran the way I ran, nothing would happen. But he ran right where the beam was falling, the beam smacked him, and that was the end of it. So, and he, this, and the fellow standing next to him lived, you know, more than another 40 years. The realization that we are totally in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Vilna Gaon writes in Mishlei that in terms of material things, if we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for material things, no matter how much we beseech him, we're not guaranteed that he'll grant it to us. He may tell us no. I think the Cheshbon is simply, he says it's good for me. I'll make $100 million. I'll become a big balgaiva, a big baltaiva, who says in scripture. Right? My kids will grow up, they'll be spoiled. They won't be mentioned. So who says it's good for me? Maybe I'll be a lot more successful in this world than what I have to do. I'm living under normal circumstances, a humble circumstances. In Ruchnius, the Grosses, that's the one place we know that if we sincerely ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Rebbeinu Shalom will give us the Yata Dishmaya. It's really, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says in Brochus, Pasuk that we say every day, Harchef Picha Vamaleya, at the end of Hod. Harchef Picha Vamaleya. So the Gemara says, Ahubidibri Terexiv. A young child, his mother has to feed him. So how much does he feed him? As long as he has enthusiasm to eat, he's a normal child, he eats normal amounts, so if he's enthusiastic about eating, his mother keeps giving him spoon after spoon. You know, when he closes up, that's it, the game is over. But as long as he wants, you know, the mother doesn't know, maybe the next time she wants him to eat, he won't want to eat. So now, whatever, as much as he wants to eat, he opens his mouth wide, harchav pichav amalei, his mother keeps filling, he just keeps pushing it spoon after spoon. Wants him to grow. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, Harchav Picho, if we open our mouths wide, if our pikush, our desire for ruchnius is great, Ramaleo, I'll fill it. That can't hurt us. There's no harm that can come from it. So then what is the tachlis of tefillah? If I'm not guaranteed that I'll succeed, and the Rosh Hashanah very likely, I'll be mispalel for 20 years, and the Rosh Hashanah won't grant it to me. So what is that? Because the tachlis of the tefillah is the hiskarvus, the closeness to the Rebbeinu Shalom. As our friend once put it very well. So tefillah is not an ATM machine. It's a relationship. That's what we're out for in tefillah. To recognize the Rebbeinu Shalom in this world. To deepen our amunah in the Rebbeinu Shalom. That needs great presence of mind. The words of the tefillah are its outer expression, but tefillah is belief. As Rabbi Kivager points out in a different context, there are certain acts where the act is what's significant. There are certain acts where the lev is significant. So normally, if the act is significant, if I sell you a house, famous story in the Gemara Daf Mem Tes, Amud Beis and Kedusha. A man sold his house. Why did he sell his house? Everyone knows. It's Adai to Lameisa Clarity Soul. He was planning to make Aliyah. So he took his house in Bova. Like, he sold his house. A normal thing. Normal can happen nowadays. The guy sells his house. And he decided, why? Because he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Then something arose, and he didn't go to Eretz, couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted his house back. So he went to Bezdin. So they told him, Dvarim Shebalev, since at the time of the sale, you did not stipulate that if you don't break Aliyah, the deal is off. So that's it. So there's an assumption that whatever you might have thought in your life, if it's not absolutely clear-cut, it's irrelevant. Your action speaks louder than any intentions that you may have had. But that only works when the outer expression. Kinyan is a deal between people. You can't have a deal being dependent. I'm thinking what you're thinking. That's not going to make deals. We'll sell a house and I'll have 17 conditions in mind that I don't tell you, and you have 17 in mind that you don't tell me. We're not going to have much of a deal. That's all we can deal with. And a deal are the things that are on the table. But those mitzvahs that are totally believe, you don't say dvorim shavaleiv in on dvorim. The essence is what's in the lev. By tefillah, the essence is the lev. That's why we have the famous, I'm not sure of its authorship, it is a famous statement that was taught at the yeshivas that says, the tefillah b'li kavana, to be mispala without kavana, is kaguf, It's like having a body, bali neshama, without a neshama. The essence of a person is the neshama. If he doesn't have a neshama, he's a monkey. So, tefillah, the levush, it's exterior, the words. And we have to have the words, we're not yetzu without the words. But it's teichen, is the link. What a chazal said, ula avdoi v'chol u'avcha, that tefillah is avoyed the shabbalim. The lev is the essence of tefillah. That's what Rashba writes, that the essence of tefillah, the primary, the most fundamental level of tefillah, is the awareness that I'm standing before the Rabbi Hashanah. That's the essential key of tefillah. That's even the Rashba, according to the Rashba, even if I would follow and it comes out of the halacha, even if I don't have particular to pay particular attention to the words. The fact that I realize I'm standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's already the essence of tefillah. Of course, we want to feel that it's a lot more meaningful than that, with an awareness of what I'm saying, with a dedication of my lev to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So, this is the essence of tefillah. It's not a simple task. I wanted to go back a little bit to the Shmona Esrei. We started to trace last week the Vilna Gaon and how he goes through each of the brachas. And each of the brachas is alluded to in the very first bracha of Shmona Esrei, all the way up until Shemaya Tefillah. So we reached Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. And as we know, the Midah of Avraham Avinu, as we said, is the Midah of Chesed. Elokei Yitzchok is Yerushalayim, Gvura. Elokei Yaakov is Torah, which is the ultimate Kedusha in this world. Kael is a shame of Chesed. Vahagodol, Vahagibor, Vahanoira correspond to the Madrega of the Obus. I believe the Ramchal makes this point. Hagodol is the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. Hagibor is the Madrega of Yitzchak. Noira, it's awesome, is the Torah itself. Godol, as I mentioned last week at the end, Rav Shwab, Zeich Tzadik Lebracha, points out that an Asher can say Gdol Chosed. Godol is in Chesed. So these are the first three brachos of Shmona Esrei. The first bracha is Keneged Avraham Avinu, Midas Chesed. The second is Ata Gibor, the Midah Gvura, and then finally Ata Kodesh is the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu V'Noira. So this is an allusion we have right here: Hagodol, Hagibor, V'Hanoira to the first three brachos. And the Goyin, I don't want to get that far, but I'm not going to go into it, but the Goyin's shita is that everything that comes follows in Shmona Esrei is ultimately Perushim and Godel, Gibor, and Ur. But that's beyond what we're going to do now. Kael Elyon, we'll put it to this, to make the terms as simple as we can. We discuss the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Elyon, is on high. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam also endows us with what's most significant in the human being. What is most significant in the human being? So in Parshas Bereishis we read, V'yah Adam L'nefesh Chaya, a living being. Living beings, yeah, monkeys, there are reptiles. That's not what a human being is. The Ruach Mamalu, the Targum says, speech, Seichel. That's what defines the human being. Is intelligence. Chovas HaLevavos says that in the creatures of the world, the human is one of the weaker creatures in this world. The animals are much stronger than human beings. Can we compare to a lion? Can we compare to a bull? A horse? They're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. And they can run faster and with more endurance than we can. So what's the human being's claim to fame in this world? The seichel. The human being with his seichel can control the lion, the elephant, and the horse. They're more powerful than us. They're stronger than we are, swifter than we are. And with our seichel, we can control all of them. This is a human being without seichel. Person who's psychotic, is worse off than an animal. He can't even take care of his. So he lost the crowning achievement in a human being. Listen, the monkey lives without that. He does quite well for himself. The human being without seichel can't even do what the monkey does. He can't take care of himself. The human being is dependent on his seichel. It's the essence of the human being. So this is the greatest gift of Elyon that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us, is the human seichel. It's atachayna in lo'odam das. Seichel comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now this is pointed out in the Arachayim HaKadosh at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. The obvious question is, we have mitzvahs. Let's take the definitions they gave us in Cheder. They're not exactly precise. There's more to it than that. In Cheder we learn there are mitzvahs are divided into it, Chukim and Mishpatim. Right? Every one of us learned that in Cheder. It's not precise. Because what does the Torah tell us in Dvorah? And what is the question we use for the Chacham at the Seder? Moha'edos v'achukim ha'mishpatim. So there's a whole realm of mitzvahs that are edos, that are neither chukim nor mishpatim. We'll leave that to the Torah. Let's stick with what Achader Rabbeim taught us. So they taught us there are chukim and mishpatim. Mishpatim means civil laws that the human being understands. Every society in the world enacts them. There are laws of commerce, there are laws of theft, there are laws of murder, all types of laws that every society enacts. Why? Because you can't have a society without it. So when every country in the world has laws concerning those things, those are mishpot. Then we have chukim, things that we cannot fathom what the reason for them is. Do we know why we don't wear Shabbos? Well, we don't eat Bosom Cholov? We don't know. The Rabbi Hashem told us, but that's it. To say that we know why we don't know. So those are chukim. So why do we have chukim? What do we need chukim for? Those chukas are Torah. And if the Torah was all in the realm of things that we would understand, the chisor. The essence of chukim is that the human being, what does Western society do? But they celebrate the human intelligence. Man's cunning. That's the greatest thing in the world. But in Western society, we actually try to give freedom to every person that what? Every person, whether of sound, you know, a chacham or not a chacham, but he can do what he wants. Right? Live by your own intelligence. We empower every individual. So we worship, Western society worships human seichel. That's the ultimate achievement of anything in this world. What the human seichel can understand, what it can do. If the human seichel doesn't have a means of quantifying it, they can't even acknowledge its existence. Which is obviously by their own measure fallacious. Before anyone made a radio, so does that mean there were no radio waves? Right? The phenomenon exists. Before we could measure radio activity, it didn't exist in this world. So there are many, many phenomena. Just we've discovered some of the phenomena of this world. And we can quantify them and measure them. So that's the limit of what exists in this world. obviously on its own merits fallacious. It doesn't stand up. But they worship the human mind. Law? Man creates law with his wisdom, with his intelligence. So what does the Torah tell us? The Torah tells us that we cannot be so self-indulgent. You can't look in the mirror. I'm a chosh of a guy. It's a brain, you know? So what does the Torah do? The Torah gives us chukim. Things that my seichel cannot fathom. And yet, I acknowledge if they came from the Rabbeinu Shalom, they're not arbitrary. There's a reason for them. They serve a purpose. Well, what's the purpose? I don't know. But that doesn't mitigate against the significance. There were a lot of things in the human realm that we don't begin to understand. And yet the human being is comfortable, ultimately, with difficulty in the human realm doing things that he doesn't understand. As they once gave a mashal of how hard it is to make an army in Israel. So one of his leading generals said, you know what the problem making an army of Jews is? You tell a guy, listen, when you put a shell in the tank gun, so close the breech. So he closes the breech, he shoots the shell, then he opens up the breech again, he takes out the shell case, he puts another shell in, he closes it up. So after a while he says, this is silliness. What am I closing the breech for? And then opening it up again for, I'll just leave the breech open and I'll shoot. I'll save the effort of closing, opening, and closing it all the time. He says, 99% of the time he's right. But what happens? 1% of the time the shell misfires and blows up in the barrel of the gun. So if the breech is closed, so it contains the explosion, and the tank is to save. If the breech is open, so it blows them up and kills all of them. So, but you can't explain every single thing in the army to every soldier why it has to be that way. It's just an impossibility. So what do we try to do? We try to inculcate people with a sense of discipline. In our own businesses, do we understand every single thing that's going on? No, we don't understand everything that's going on. Unless you're all the way at the top of the company, so you understand all the moves that they're making. If not, some of the things they tell you to do, you don't understand why they want them. And if left to our devices, we would probably do the opposite. But listen, the guy that's paying our check, right, signing the check at the end of the week, said this is what he wants, so that's what I do. Now, ultimately, it has a purpose, a very defined purpose. The guy that's paying me, he has me doing it for a reason. He doesn't want, he's not paying me to spin the wheels. He's paying me to make money for him and his company. So he has a reason. So even if I don't know the reason, but I do it, because I understand there's obviously there's a reason for it. When it comes to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we have to have that same discipline. The realization, my seichel is not the absolute determinant. There are things, they are very meaningful and significant. But I don't know what they're about. I don't know. So we turn to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Atachayne Lolam Das. Where does Das, where does seichel come from? Comes from Hashemai. Comes from Hashemai. It's a gift from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So that's probably most appropriate that we begin Shemot Esrei with that bracha. Because this is the whole gestalt of the human being. What's the human's greatness is mind. So the first thing we do is we take the human mind, what we're all about, and we humble that before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Atachayne Lolam Das. Das, Seichel, comes from you. When the Rabbeinu Shel Olam doesn't want us to have Das, we'll make the most elementary blunders. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai emerged, as the Gemara tells us, on Zokin from the city of Yerushalayim that was in siege by the Roman legions. And he approaches the general of the Roman army, so ultimately has been appointed while he's at the battlefield the Caesar of Rome, the Roman emperor, the emperor of Rome, I should say. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked them for a number of things. He asked him to heal one of the tzaddikim who's been fasting for years. He asked him to spear Yavne v'chachamero, which saved Klal Yisrael. So the shaila is, why he didn't ask him to spear the Beis HaMikdash? In the Gemara we find that Rabbi Akiva said it was a mistake. It was wrong. It should have asked. The Medrash in the Eicha Rabbah tells us he was correct not to ask. If it asked, the general would not have given it to him and he would have lost everything else. Rabbi Akiva said he was mistaken. So why did he make this mistake? You know why he made this mistake? It's Meishir Chacham and Ochal Adaita Misokha. When the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants something to happen, he takes the wisest man in the world and he'll make him make the biggest blunder. And okay, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will achieve his ends. Which one is right? According to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was tormented his entire life. Shot in the Gemara and Brochus. That Vulayayit, besides the normal fear of the din that he had, but I don't know Beis HaDerech Malichan, I see. So Rabbi Sonnenfeld said, he said, I don't know what they're going to say in Shemayim. Which view is right? I should have asked or I shouldn't have asked. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that he should have asked, he viewed his blunder as stemming from the hand of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. Wisdom is granted to us by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, from the greatest Chachamim in Klal Yisrael, who successfully brought Klal Yisrael through its darkest hour, reordered Klal Yisrael after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and set up the Jewish religion that we would survive. And 2,000 years later, we have to thank Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai for our survival. And yet, in the most critical of moments, he may have made a blunder that's beyond measure. Why? Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam so wanted. The first bracha continues, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. He gives us Chesed, which is Toiv. The ultimate Chesed that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Toiv, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives the person, is Hashiveinu Avinu Mesor Asecha. It's the gift of Tshuva. Tshuva is Gomel Chasadim Tovim. It's absolutely rooted in Midas HaChesed. As the Ramchal writes, in Midas HaDin is no place for tshuva. Midas HaDin would lead to three things in this world. Number one, tshuva, punishment for chet would be instantaneous. There would be no possibility of tshuva, and punishment would be absolute. What did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tell Adam HaRishon? Miyom acholocho mimenu meistamos. As they asked Chochma Mahu Oimer about Tshuva, about Chet, HaNefesh HaChotas Thomas. What else could it be? Rebelled against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that's it. Rebelled against the mortal king. What's one's fate? Rebelled against the Melech Malchei Amloch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's one's fate? Midas HaRachamim introduced three chidushim. Number one, it enabled us, to gave us the gift of Tshuva. It gave the human being time before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings Einish upon him. And even when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings Einish, it's not catastrophic. It's meted out in small portions. But this is rooted in Midas HaRachem. In this world, we cannot survive without Midas HaRachem. As Chazal tell us, that initially we find Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's a system of din in this world, as the Shlok tells us. But in the second statement in Chumash Breishis of Briyas Ha'olam, what do we find? Yom Baro Hashem Elokim Shemayim La'aretz. Eretz of Shemayim. Hashem Elokim. Why? Because Elokim is Midas Adin. The Rabbeinu Shlomo joined it together with Midas Harachamim. If not for the Midas Harachamim, the world would not survive. So the Rabbeinu Shlomo has given us this enormous gift, Gomel Chasodim Tovim, the ultimate chesed, is truth. That we have the ability to survive this world. That's the second thing that we turn our attention to. He writes B'konei HaKol. There's a very interesting translation of B'konei HaKol. B'konei HaKol in simplest meaning means the Rebbe Shalom owns everything in this world. But the Gra tells us B'konei HaKol means also that he repairs, he corrects, he fixes everything in this world. It's also part of B'konei HaKol. And he says, and that's the bracha of Slachnonu Avinu Ki Chataru. There are really two separate things. This tshuva. Tshuva removes the einish from a person. A person was in a car crash. His life was in danger. So they brought him to the hospital. They stabilized him. They saved his life. A very nice thing. But physically he's in bad shape. This bone is broken, the next bone is broken, whatever. He has myriad problems. His life was saved. But he's not in good shape. We can do tshuva. So the Rebbe, okay, we spear the einish. But where are we in Ruchnius? The Rambam tells us in Ruchnius we have chayli. Just as we have Choli Aguf, we have Choli Anefesh, the Chaton. We're not well. We survived, that's true. But I'm not whole. So that we need a special gift, really, the gift of Slachlon Ravina, the gift of Kapor. That's beyond you. It's in the sense, one sense, the Rebbeinu Shalom, okay, I won't punish you, we'll let you go. Am I? But where's my ruchnius? Where am I? Do I have broken bones and I'm going around on crutches? I'm restored to where I was before. This I need the Rebbeinu Shalom to make me whole again. So after that's the pshat Hashemenu Avinu L'Sarasecha is the ability to do tshuva. But after tshuva, I need to correct the damage of the chet. That also has to be taken care of. And that's why it's interesting that we have a connection between the Shavarofala, the Gemara quotes, that Rafua comes after Chuba as the Shavarofala. This refuah, which is in the realm of tshuva, of the ruchnis, the Rebbeinu Shalom heals the spirit of man. So that's a special gift of the Rebbeinu Shalom that's beyond tshuva. It's beyond tshuva. We continue in the bracha. I'll skip that for now. I want to come back to that. To go in order. Umevi goyel levenayim. Umevi goyel levenayim means goyel is Mashiach. The Benjamin will bring a goyel, a clock. So the question is in Shemoneh Esrei, we have Reivon Yeno, Reivon Reivainu. And we said Goel Yisrael. What are we referring to in Goel Yisrael? Are we referring to Mashiach? Then we have a bracha later on. We have the bracha of Tekah B'Shoyfa Godel L'Cheru Seinu. And that's Tzemach Dovid Abdecho. So what's the bracha Rain Ovanim? Seems to be merely restating what comes elsewhere in Shmon Esrei. So Rashi in Masechet Megillah tells us that this bracha has another dimension to the Rebbe Shlomo is Goyel Yisrael. And that is long before the Gula Shleimah. While Yisrael is in Golos, who sees that we survive in Golos? That's also a measure of Gula. There's redemption from the Rebbe Shlomo. Within the Golos, there's redemption. That we survive the vicissitudes of Golos. So that's included. Maybe Goyel of Nevi Neim is not only the ultimate Geula, but could be mini Geula, the mini redemptions along the way, which allow Klal Yisrael to survive. As I mentioned on other occasions, the Yavetz in the Hakdama to Siddur, it's near the beginning if you want to find it. Our Ashura, Zatzal, used to mention it. And I looked for it earlier, and I couldn't find it. About 2 years ago, I decided it's time to find it. So it's a very lengthy Hakdama, and I started systematically to go through the Hakdama. It's near the beginning. And the Yavetz writes, Chaynafshi, he says, I swear to you, a very unusual lashon to use, that if you wish to observe Nisim, which are greater than the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, study survival of Klal Yisrael and Golos, and it's greater nisim than the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this Rashi tells us in Megillah, this is the bracha Reivu Anyenu Reivu Reivu. Means while we were ba'anyenu, in difficulty, the Rebbeinu Shalom should take up for us. To see that we survived the moment. This is included, and when we see Umayhi Go'el of Nevinayim, is not only the Gula Asida, but all the mini Gulas along the way. We still have a little bit more to go. As Hashem, next week we'll come back and we'll complete our study of the Goyim's analysis of the first bracha. This part of the Goyim's analysis, the Goyim has a tremendous amount of the first bracha.